Oh, what are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This podcast is brought to you by our patrons at patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the amazing universe of the Elder Scrolls. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, or Robots. I'm here with Lotus of Doom, as usual. And Lotus, we are diving back into Daedric creatures again this week. I'm super excited because these are always so fun. How's it going, buddy?
Things are well. I'm excited to tackle a couple of these. We're getting into some kind of goofy ones, a couple weird ones. We're not into too much of the weird stuff, I guess, but
well, we'll see where this goes. We've got like crows and titans and dark seducers and a very specific Daedric count that only shows up in Battlespire.
the dark seducers and Daedric counts ought to be an interesting way to close this episode out.
So we're going through these alphabetically, which means that Daedric Titan shows up under D, which they're all Daedric somethings. So it's a little funny. So it's Titan. So we're just gonna roll with it. Otherwise, we might miss it and go back because there's a lot, and I don't want to just have to keep a list and check them all off. I'm just going down the list alphabetically because it's just easier, and I'm lazy about that. So
that's fair.
So we're just roll with it. I'm sure you guys will all be entertained by that as well, anyway, because these are all fun and doesn't really matter what order they come in. So let's dig into it. How do you feel about Crow Daedra?
Okay, so. They're pretty funny. You encounter them a lot in ESO, which we'll get into with the crow court. But just as a note to these crows who are essentially sentient and speak.
And saucy. They've got and they're attitude.
They're certainly saucy. I really enjoy it. Is such a like extra thing to anybody who plays the Elder Scrolls Online. You can have these personal merchants or bankers, and they have all sorts of different ones. It started a while back, but you know, they have all different flavors of it, so that you'll, you know, look into the different options for cosmetics and the crown store and stuff like that. Well, there are crow versions, and they're from the crow court, and they fly in and they literally land on your arm, and it is really amusing way to deal with the banker. And I personally just found those to be some of their better work because they are pretty entertaining, the crow court themselves.
Right. Rob asked a good question. Do we know if normal crows exist or if they're all Daedra? Well, the assumption is that they must exist because this is one of the Daedric types that mimics normal animals.
Right. Well, also, like if you're in Rivenspire or anything like that, none of those crows picking at the corpses seem to have much to say. They just kind of squawk and fly off. So I'm assuming those are regular crows.
Yeah, or glowy purple eyes.
I think that's another one of the signs. Maybe they're just more antisocial than the Daedric crows, and we didn't realize.
Right. So here, let's dig into it a little bit. We're opening up the UESP as we normally do because it's a wonderful source for all sorts of different stuff and friends of the shows that we do. So
yeah,
awesome source. So a crow Daedra are one of the major. Many Daedric species that mimic those found in Nirn. They are associated with the Daedric prince Nocturnal. They differ from real crows in that they can talk and have unnatural glowing purple eyes. They have their own feudal courts, the most notable of which are the Black Feather Court and their rivals, the Exarchs of Dross. They have these feuds, which is great. They do not consider themselves Daedra and instead think themselves to be real crows. So here's a quote from Knave of Rooks. They have these wonderful names like Knave of Rooks. Yeah. And they feel like these like medieval characters that would show up in some sort of Shakespearean play or something and be kind of a foil for the for one of the characters, or, you know, a comedic relief or something. But this quote from Knave of Rooks says, "Daedra, do we look like Daedra to you? Daedra look like crocodile men and fat-faced ogres and plate-necked turkeys. Even every bird knows that." So that's kind of the attitude that you get with these guys. What do you think about that? Any other thoughts on these specifically?
I mean, the Crow Court themselves, it's definitely one of the more goofy aspects of the series, but they're, I don't know, I found them to be pretty funny. So, you know, even with the goofiness aspect, I like them. They make pretty consistent appearances throughout Elder Scrolls Online, especially when you're dealing with like Nocturnal or something like that. They're usually floating around, but much less intimidating than their Crow-related, I don't know, sibling that we'll get into in a second, which is a little more actually intimidating.
Yes, yes. Okay, so to wrap up the normal crows, not the ones that are even more intimidating, they're still a little intimidating. They enjoy eating fleshy bits of mortal bodies, such as eyes.
Delicious.
And like actual crows, they have a tendency to collect shiny objects. And Crow Daedra can procreate and lay eggs in order to hatch more of their kind. So they actually have kind of a similar life sort of setup to normal animals, which is a little bit weird for Daedra.
So yeah,
that part's a little odd. But they sometimes actually do get distracted by shiny objects, which plays into some of the storyline stuff that you go through with them, which is indeed pretty awesome. So, all right. So let's talk about the Wraith of Crows. How do you feel about the Wraith of Crows?
I'm yeah. Put the so this the is, screen. I think, a bad, this is a better, like when you're considering something like Daedric, demonic, this kind of fits the crow aesthetic of not being quite so goofy and like an actual like threat in game and stuff like that. It's a pretty good enemy. It's got a very Halloween vibe, which ironically is one of the bosses for the Halloween event in game for the Witches Festival. So
yeah, they look kind of like these bony humanoids with these crow faces. Now what's crazy about this is that the Crow Daedra can combine and create creatures like the Wraith of Crows,
right,
or also known as Wraith Scythes, which are crow-like semi-humanoid skeletal figures that usually possess a pair of large black wings. They use like magical attacks, and like you're saying, they show up as enemies in the game.
Again, it's kind of like just a humanoid, like you said. It's like a humanoid skeleton with crow features, which is kind of weird. They're like, you know, claws for feet, claws for hands type of thing, more than like fingers and stuff like that. They get the beak and stuff, but the rest of them, it's just, you know, it's upright. It's not a bird body.
Yeah, Rob in chat says, "I hate these guys in Harrow Storms. They always one-shot everybody."
Yes, they're Harrow Storm things with that blasted AoE that just follows you around too is pretty rough.
Oh yeah, that's the worst.
Yeah, that's usually governed by them, if I remember correctly. Yep.
Right. So any other thoughts on crows? I personally hope they make their way into a mainline game that hopefully
They're really an Elder Scrolls Online specific type of thing more than anything else. Other than just like, it's got the, it definitely fits with the Nocturnal vibe.
Yes. Yes. And so, crows go with the whole spooky kind of. I don't know that whole thing. I mean, blackbirds in general. You think of like the poet Edgar Allan Poe. You've got that kind of like Victorian kind of quality to crows and all of that. So, yeah, we've talked about this stuff all the time. The creepier, the better. And I hope we get some really cool like nocturnal.
I could see them doing something pretty creepy with them, because again, they don't need to, like, the jovial thing is fine too, but that there's multiple directions they can go with it. It's not like it's kind of like, oh yeah, it's got to be jokey. And that's one of the things Elder Scrolls I think does pretty well. It's a mix of, oh, isn't that quirky, and also, wow, that's absolutely horrific, the following like
right, it's a little bit of both.
Right.
All right, so we're gonna move on to our second one for this episode. This one is okay, so we have to go back to Battlespire. We're going back in time to the early games where we get these really kind of generic enemies. This one is called the Daedra Count. I'm going to put this up on the screen. Lotus, you've played Battlespire. How do you feel about this guy? Look, oh man, look at his little animation with his little wagon tail, and he's like goat legs, but and then he's just got this like handsome face. What's going on with this guy?
Yeah, so he really is just kind of like this generic. Sort of, I don't know, for lack of it kind of filled the quotient of being here is your weird underworld Daedra demon thing, because they weren't quite so fleshed out. So it was just like, here's a demon-y type enemy.
Mm-hmm. Like a little mini boss kind of type that, of character.
That little like pseudo 3D gif is really funny.
yep.
But yeah, they also are really sophisticated, which is really funny. When they speak in Battlespire, we had joked that, like, some of like the goofy aspects, they straight up have like super fancy, like condescending British monocle accent thing going on, which is even funnier when they're like threatening to like beat you to death, or oddly they make passes at you quite frequently. Battlespire is a weird game.
Battlespire is a little too sexy for its own good.
Battlespire is a lot too sexy its own good.
We're going to reference that in another a little bit towards the end of the show.
It's going to get way more weird. But this is these things kind of just seemed like a generic base for some of the other creatures that became the Dremora. Honestly, seem like they kind of phased these almost out entirely.
Right. Like that was a more fleshed out, like, okay, this is actually a race of Daedric people and there's more to them, whereas this is like, well, we've got a count, and then like there's another one, a Daedric lord, and it's basically the same model with horns coming out of its head real big.
Correct.
It's like they were just making up these generic enemies because they didn't really have the lore there yet to establish stuff.
It was still kind of like getting its footing, and they kind of just morph and combine into the Dremora, I felt, because again, this is the only game we see them from. They kind of just phase them away. So they're just a weird little hybrid between a whole bunch of other stuff that the series, I feel like, morph them into rather than keeping these weird things around.
Right. So the UESP says, it has a very short little snippet on this.
Sure does.
Says, a Daedric Count is a formidable, highly intelligent Daedric foe. They can cast a variety of spells, but also are proficient in close quarters combat. If spoken to, some have been known to offer up some useful information, but most will likely attack. Is that par for the course with this?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I had very poor speaking skills, so they didn't really like me for very long. Ironically, though, the Lord version is around a little more than the Count version of the generic day. But it's kind of funny because what I was saying about them kind of still stands, where it's just like they almost seem like just an offshoot of sort of what like some of the other stuff is, and it seems almost like a relic of the past before they fleshed out the Dremora or the Zivali or all these other subcultures within like Daedric humanoid things.
Right.
And so they just kind of
The Daedric Lord here, I've got that up on screen too. You can see just the slight difference as I go between these two.
Just with a horned helmet,
it's just slightly different coloration on the armor. Yeah. And then big old horns. And I don't even know if that's a helmet. I think they just come out of the head.
No, I think those are. Yep. No, but I think those are just coming out of his. Yeah, those are
almost
just coming out of his head.
They're almost as long as his arms. And that's it.
Yeah.
And so we can discuss the Daedric Lord here as well, because it's kind of an offshoot of this one. It's a greater Daedric being who maintains great power and hierarchy over Oblivion, matched only by the Demi Princes and exceeded only by the Daedric Princes. So this guy's like a high ranking.
Yeah.
Horned guy.
Tertiary tier of importance in the Daedric hierarchy.
Yeah. The powers of the Daedric Lords are varied in scope, with some embodying their own individual spheres and others being servants of the Daedric Princes who help maintain subspheres. Some of the more powerful lords also rule over their own realms and demiplanes. Daedric Lords are one of the most powerful Daedra to be commonly seen in Tamriel. I don't know where else we see them very often.
That's why they're so rare to show up.
They don't seem to show up very often, and are to be feared by all of the most experienced adventurers. They are known to be powerful fighters and spellcasters and can only be harmed by mithril or better weapons.
Yes.
Thank you, classic, old games.
Classic mithril, which is not even in the series anymore.
Yeah, right. Right. They are referenced in ESO, though. They do show up in Daggerfall and Battlespire. But they are still referenced as a type of creature, at least.
Right.
I can't remember a time that we encounter them, though.
I actually don't remember that in ESO either. Granted, I've done how many thousands of quests, but I don't specifically remember a Daedric Lord. So if you can remember the quest that came from, feel free to... That one's not jumping out at me. In regards to Battle Spire, though, these are one of the creatures I remember toward the end of the game where it just goes completely wild because spells aren't really cast. Well, there's a lot of things wrong with the combat of Battle Spire, but there is a point during my playthrough where I opened one of the doors and turned a corner, and it was just like somebody took a machine gun of spells, and it was just like, and it was just like my entire top bar just filled with status effects because it hit me with like 45 spells, and I dove around the corner and it kept doing it, and it blew itself up because self-infliction damage was a thing.
Wow.
And it just had so much. So it was just like, it had no governing attribute. So it was just very, very amusing. And actually Rob mentions two things, one of which
Hollowjack is like, if we consider Daedric Lord a title and there's variations on this, then Hollowjack is actually a type of Daedric Lord because it does the function.
Hollowjack was a demi prince.
It says here, Hollowjack, a pumpkin specter, is the Daedra Lord of Mortal Fears who rules over the demiplane. Okay. So he rules over a demiplane. So maybe he's a lord who's also a prince or something.
Okay.
It seems like in between labels.
And actually,
things.
Lord Warden's a good point. That I think, the Lord Warden thing's a good call out, Rob, because I think you might be right.
There's a few others that show up. Sumir Jobrin was a Daedric Lord who served under Mehrunes Dagon and Moleg Bal for a time. So some of them have specific names and they seem to show up in different places.
And the only reason, actually, just for clarification, I thought Lord and Demi Prince were synonymous, Rob. Since the Daedric Lords are listed under the Demi Princes, that's why I assumed that they were referring to them differently. But I'm thinking of I think you're right, Tom. I think it's the demi plane that I was thinking of for Hollowjack. I don't know.
Maybe.
Really maybe. Hierarchical, but yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, we actually didn't prep to talk about Daedric Lord. I just kind of threw this in there while we were going on about
it. Was kind
the
of
count,
funny. You threw that in there and it's like, yeah, but it's why the Lord Warden's a good pull. Because I think you might be right on that one. And I thought Hollowjack was a demi prince, but it's listed as, Daedric. So there you go.
It feels the more I look at this, it feels like it's more of a label and less of a species. So, for example,
right.
Zivalai Moath is the leader of the Zivalai clans that serve both under Mehrunes Dagon and Moleg Bal for a time.
Correct.
Mehrunes Dagon considers him his adoptive son. But according to this article, he's also a Daedra Lord.
Right.
So even though he's a Zivalai, would be the species. Daedra Lord would be the title, I guess, or the role it plays. So
that could make sense because
it's
you
not
do
a
encounter
clean,
in Battlespire, Zivalai Moath, as well as a few others, you encounter several of his like generals and spoilers for Battlespire. The idea is to try to get them to kind of work against each other so that you can move on. You might be right because they're referred to as generals in the game as well. Mm-hmm. So I think you might be right. It might just be more of a title specifically.
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
Point. So yes and no.
Yeah, so yes and no. I mean, it's hard to tell. Like Hollowjack and Zivalai and a number of these other things all appear very different from each other. And they all, like a Zivalai is its own type of creature, right?
Right.
So is it a title? Is it a lord? It's a little bit in the middle there. So I guess we'll have to find out. So Lord Zivalai is notably different from normal Zivalai, says Rob.
Right.
It seems very complex. We'll dig into this a little bit more. Maybe we'll come back around to it.
Yeah,
with
I was going to say, that,
little
that
bit
was
more
actually an interesting
this.
Little tangent on something that's kind of lost to the series, but it's still there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so, a little bit weird.
I like that.
So,
if you have any deep insight, let us know.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a quick break. We're going to go thank our patrons, and then we will be back to talk about Titans and Dark Seducers. So don't go anywhere.
It's that time. Holiday shopping is here, and I've got something to help you out. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. And that's legit. How many different stores can you find exactly the same products and you just are shopping for whoever has the best deal? No, This is a place that has high quality, unique, often handmade or made in the US products by independent artists and small businesses that truly create one of a kind gifts for all sorts of different seasons. And it's the holiday season. Well, get this. I found one that I thought was super cool. Now, my wife loves puzzles. She loves mysteries. She loves escape rooms. They have murder mystery jigsaw puzzles where you use the puzzle to solve the mystery. There's a few of these, and I think I might pick up the clairvoyant convention one. I think she'll love it. And that's just one example. They've got gifts for moms and teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard football fans, foodies, mixologists, gardeners. There's something here for everybody on your gift list. And they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice with every purchase. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/scrollslore. That's uncommongoods.com/scrollslore for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
All right, this is the middle of the show. This is where we get to thank our patrons, the people who make this possible. Well, everybody makes it possible. Thank you to everybody for listening. These are people who have decided to help support us financially, and we are extremely, extremely thankful for that. Let's shout out our newest patrons, including Sean M., Grug O., Morgan, Jamie H., Theodore O., Tenson Star, and Angelo C. Welcome to the Patreon. Thank you for supporting us. I'm so glad that you are here. And we get to shout out our Daedric Princes, Jacob C., Kira C., or Jacob K., Kira C., and Noodle El Dente. Thank you for your support as well. They are our Tier 5 patrons, and they get shout outs every week. So if you are in your car driving to work or at work and you would rather be listening to this show than doing your work or watching your grandmother's cat while she's mowing the yard. I don't know why that popped
oddly
in my head.
Oddly specific again. We've gone back to the oddly specific scenarios.
Then please consider checking out patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast for all the different things you can get, like ad-free episodes and all sorts of things, t-shirts and stickers and all sorts of stuff. Go check that out. Thank you again for everybody who supports us. Also, if you'd like to help us out with a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, we'll read it out on a future episode of the show so you can get your words on the show that way. And it helps us out. So that's a way to do it. Also, you can rate us on Spotify. You can leave funny comments. I've been getting all sorts of wonderful and sometimes very strange things that show up in those. So thank you for doing that as well. And just in general, thank you for being here. We don't have any new reviews to read out this time, but we really do appreciate it. Also, a note for our patrons. If you are one of our tier 4 or tier 5 patrons, then at the end of every month, we have a patron chat. I will be out of town this month, but Lotus is going to try to rally the troops and do a conversation and record it. And so that episode might end up a little bit late to be published on for everybody to listen to, but it should be about the same time Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern for Lotus and the patrons, unless you talk with all the patrons and you find a different time or schedule things differently.
Yeah, we'll figure something out with everybody.
Yeah. So if you are one of our patrons, make sure you're tuning into the Patreon channel. Lotus is going to post some stuff. You guys can decide a topic, and I just may not be there this week because I will be away on vacation. So I hope you all have a fun time, and thanks for taking care of that, Lotus. All right, let's move on with the rest of the show.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
Lotus, you ready to talk about Titans?
Yeah, the football team, right?
The football team, the Titans, are in Tamriel. The Tamriel Titans. Yes.
Tamriel Titans. Perfect.
It's my favorite football team. Man, that would be awesome to watch a bunch of like wizards and Daedra and stuff try to play football against each other.
Okay, so before we jump into Titans, but Titan related, the creature that we're about to talk about, not the football team that has had some weird seasons. In Gorm, the new dungeon, one of the new public dungeons in Necrom, at the end, there is a Daedric Titan fight off. It's like,
wait, fight off like between Titans, like, yes, more than one Titan.
Yeah. So they're in the center, like they're in the center of like a town square, just wailing on each other, calling in troops.
That's
and
awesome.
If you mess it up and kill all of them, it starts summoning all these Daedric portals to come in, and it turns into a public event. And it's really fun.
Oh, that's great. I haven't done that yet.
It's really awesome. It's actually one of the coolest, like, aesthetic things in a public dungeon that I've seen. So I definitely recommend it. It's really cool because they actually, they don't do a lot of damage to each other until you get involved, but they are just like wailing on each other in the public dungeon, whittling each other down. I've never sat there long enough to see if one of them eventually just wins.
Maybe like sometimes like, when these things are programmed into games, there's some sort of like limit of like health.
But yeah, so it's spawning in like minions and stuff and they die off. But yeah, it's a pretty cool public event that you can do. And I believe it's Gorn or Gorm.
Yeah, that's one of those. Locate.
I think it's Gorn is how it's pronounced, but it's right outside the main city of Necrom.
Right. All right. So here, let's dig into the Titans. Titans.
Perfect.
Words is hard.
Crushed it.
So Daedric Titans, commonly referred to simply as Titans, are giant winged Daedra that serve Molag Bal as war slaves. They were first created in imitation of the dragons of Nirn, which is part of why they have the faces and the wings and stuff the way they do.
Yeah, they look all dragony and gross.
Yeah, yeah. When when Molag Mal's interrogation of holy moly, this is a tough word, Bizikhodstrom, I think I nailed that one.
I actually think you nailed that.
Proved fruitless. After modifying Bizikhodstrom's skeleton and substituting his soul for a Daedric vestige, Bal transformed him into the first Titan. So it's like he took apart a dragon and made him his own creature, basically.
Yeah, very much flesh sculptory, which is like, ew.
That feels very Molag Bal.
Dragon. Yeah. Well, I mean, with the Lord of, you know, dude's all about, you know, corruption and all this stuff and domination. Dominating a dragon seems like a pretty heavy ask. So that seemed like probably a decent trophy on the wall for Molag Bal.
Right. And a direct Molag insult Bal. To Akatosh. Like,
right. Exactly. So, yeah.
Daedric Titans are anatomically similar to dragons, although with dark black skin and prehensile frontal limbs. They have the ability to speak a spell of flaming essence drain that can debilitate an opponent with a single word, similar to the power of the Thum. They are notoriously difficult to kill. There's a few different varieties of these as well. We have kind of these regular black looking ones. And then because Molag Bal decided to make something cool, some of the other Daedric princes wanted some as well. So you end up with like, that's the picture right there on the screen is Molag Bal with a bunch of them. But then you have like these fire titans, these like flame titans. You even have one in the Clockwork City that basically is a construct. It's like a mechanical titan dragon.
Yeah. It's weird because like that one is like, so that's one of the saints who's gone crazy in the asylum. And it's, again, it's funny because it's modeled much more. I mean, obviously it's become robotic over time being in the Clockwork City. And then, you know, you end up fighting and killing, well, aiming to kill them in the Asylum Sanctorum trial, where you fight the three imprisoned saints, essentially. And it's interesting because, again, similar, it's like a corrupted idea of a dragon type of thing. So you get this weird pseudo like robotic version, even though this one isn't Daedric. It's a whacked out saint. It has a very similar look.
Right. Yeah. It's somewhere between that dragon, a strict dragon look, but then more of a Titan. If you look at the way the body is shaped,
exactly.
And it's called a Clockwork Titan. That's the actual.
Right. And it's modeled much more after the Daedric Titan than a dragon itself. Like it's weird because you think it's like, okay, well, it was originally modeled on like the creation was modeled off a dragon. But this is like saying, you know, we don't need Coke. We have RC Cola at home, and RC Cola ripped off like Pepsi.
Mom, so can we get like, Coke? No, we have a. We used to drink A Plus Cola, which is from Albertsons, which I think is still around somewhere. It was one of those chain grocery stores And I know it's in Florida and has been in some other states as well, but it was never very successful or popular. And they had their own Albertsons Cola. So it was called A Plus Cola. And my friends, especially the ones I would play in a band with, we'd all go to my friend's house after school. We'd all jam in our band or write music or practice or whatever for like an hour or two. And then we'd pile in somebody's like crappy car because we're high school kids with like one of us had a crappy car. And then we would go to Albertsons, and out front of Albertsons there was a soda machine, and it was a quarter. Like, it was just one quarter. They didn't even charge like regular prices. It was like super cheap because it was like cheap, and it was so bad, and we would all drink it and complain about it while hanging out in front of an Albertsons. We were the dumbest teenagers.
So there you go. Anyway, so St. Ohm's
is the A plus cola.
Is the A plus cola or RC cola of dragons.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So also, if you're not actually watching this on YouTube, go please help us get to 1,000 subscribers on the Elder Scrolls YouTube channel, because you can see pictures of these up on the screen right over there as we're talking about them.
You don't have to rely on our vivid descriptions.
right. And then there's the dragon one. There's this dragon one that is a in Arteum.
Yes.
Just kind of like hanging in the middle of one of the big rooms.
Yeah, just chilling.
Just chilling. Like,
just chilling.
No big deal. We took out a Daedric Titan. We're just going to put it up here like a dinosaur bone.
So that everybody can remember it.
Yep. All right. Any other thoughts on the Titans?
Not really. They've been around basically since the beginning of the game. All the way back to vanilla at launch, there have been some form of Daedric Titans in the game. So these things are kind of a creation because you're battling Molag Bal as the main antagonist. And right out the gate, he started using these as like sort of a defense against you. They'll drop at dark anchors. Sometimes you'll get like dread versions of them and stuff like that. But yeah, they're a neat addition to the series. I don't know if they'll ever really expand out past like Elder Scrolls Online specifically.
Well, they have done a lot over the years to kind of refine these and use them in other creative ways, which is common
dragons,
for a lot of this
dragons
stuff.
Are obviously a long-standing thing in the series, but they're usually not at the forefront either. The dragons aren't really like, oftentimes they're more talked about than battled against outside Skyrim.
Yeah.
You got the big skeleton in Battle Spire of the Dead one. You got Narfalaralargus from
bless you
from thank you from Redguard. Like they're not super common.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to our last Daedra of this episode, the Dark Seducer. Here, I'm going to read this intro. These are fun.
Please do.
They're also known as Mazkin or Seducers or Daedra Seducers. They are a Daedric race who resemble scantily clad humanoids. Some Mazkin have humanesque skin tones. And oh man, look at that image. I'm going to save that image for a second. Hold on. I'm jumping over to this one first.
I was going
to
say, there's a couple
of gems
here.
We have to go back and talk about that one in particular. Some have humanesque skin tones, while others are marked as Daedra by more unusual shades such as blue, gray, and dark purple. A few also possess large, retractable bat-like wings. They have blue and green eyes. They are the spawn of Sheogorath, and their home is Pinnacle Rock in the Shivering Isles. Pinnacle Rock contains the wellsprings of the Mazkin, which serve as a beacon to guide the souls of the seducers lost in the void back to the Isles. Details surrounding their chaotic creation is a mystery, but their wellspring flows with a green liquid fitting of them. Many of the Mazkin are notoriously clanless and treacherous, owing allegiances to many dark princes, such as Mehrunes Dagon, Molag Bal. This is the Molag Bal Mehrunes Dagon episode almost.
Yeah, it really is.
Meridia and Nocturnal. Male Mazkin are notably weaker than their female counterparts. This is particularly interesting. And because of this, Mazkin society views all males as inferior. Unlike their counterparts, the Golden Saints, which we'll talk about in a later episode, but we've mentioned them before, dark seducers are generally polite and patient when interacting with mortals. So these are the ones you can actually talk to if you go through like the Shivering Isles and you don't just fight them.
Right.
So here's this is a wonderful animation. This picture is from Daggerfall. And let's describe it. It's a rather normal looking woman. Now, we have to remember these images are like super low resolution.
They are very pixelated,
very low poly. and their animations from the characters in the games. And you have what appears to be a succubus kind of character.
They're very, that's what I was going to say. They, if you know what a succubus is in like other fictions and stuff like that, very similar vibe to like what you would expect something like that would be.
Right. So it starts off, and I guess it's hard to tell where the animation starts and stops. It starts off as this like scantily clad woman, and then she dips down and these wings spawn out of her back, and for some reason her clothing disappears, or at least her top.
Yeah, well, no, her pants go too.
And so she's a very low pixelated, naked, it seems winged like, monster woman.
It seems like her clothes literally become her bat wings.
Oh, maybe that's it. Maybe it's like a Bayonetta thing, where like her hair is also her clothing.
I that was what I thought the deal was with the Daggerfall ones. The Battle Spire ones are
Let's jump
equally
to that one.
Interesting.
Yeah. So this is a much more clothed woman.
So yeah, she has a top and armor. She has a very long thong.
It's
I guess
a loincloth thong.
Yeah.
And with like she's got like a, it looks like a metal bra, some sort of weird neck thing. And then like full on gloves.
Metal claw gloves.
A left shoulder armor piece.
She has
like
one pauldron.
Yeah. But then no shoes. No, nothing on her legs at all. No
all
home.
Right. So that's basically what they are. Well, that's one of the seducers from Battlespire. They're also ones with wings in Battlespire as well. They kind of. The winged ones kind of just look like they're wearing little bikinis for the most part.
right.
And they're usually sideways. Just the sprite is sideways. Actually, in the picture you put, she's sideways.
Where
as
like
well.
Certain body parts are in front of other body parts to kind of give them a little bit of coverage. Yeah.
Yes. I'm not entirely sure if it is a glitch or not. I never could get a real answer. And I've now completed Battlespire years ago. But sometimes they're invisible because I think just F you. I'm not entirely sure that it's supposed to work like that. But sometimes they just don't show up, but they'll be there until you hit them, and then they will like materialize. So I can't tell if it's like it was a visual error or not. So the thing that's, well, whatever, this show is, you know, deals with some weirdly adult topics for a video game, but
I mean, these video games actually, especially the older ones, have some weirdly adult topics. Absolutely.
Correct. They're all, I mean, they are rated mature as well. So, but like, yeah, you can totally have sex with one of these in Battlespire. It is a dialogue option. And it goes to a black screen and you take damage. And the screen just like flashes red a couple times.
It's like digital STDs.
Yes. Cool. But it's incredibly bizarre. When I found out about it, I literally was like, there's no way. And actually, in one of the rare cases, for anybody who's watched the Battlespire playthrough I have on my YouTube, you'll notice that part of the game is missing because Twitch removed the video when I did that.
It was too saucy.
Apparently the pixelated nonsense was too saucy. And that part where I was in, I believe it's called the Havoc Wellhead, was removed. So I actually, it is the full Battlefire playthrough sans like 20 minutes because they just deleted that VOD on me. And I was like, all right, well, pixelation too far. But yes, also the Battlespire cover, which I actually absolutely love the art to the cover of Battlespire. It's one of my favorite covers to a thing, is a Dark Seducer holding a Daedric Crescent as well.
Right. And we talked about this on one of the previous episodes.
Yes.
Too. But with the light behind it, the green light, and it's then it's so, coming through the wings a little bit.
It's so eerie because wings are so thin.
They're like transparent.
You can actually see the light going through. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. And like that is some really cool imagery. And the idea of like a succubus is very common kind of trope, especially in modern fantasy.
Yep.
But comes from, actual mythological origins. Now, the more recent version, so this on the screen right here, is one of the early like art, like I don't know, concept art. That's the word. Concept
oh, wow. Yeah. That's,
yep. Which is pretty cool. It's a, you know, scantily clad woman.
Yeah,
with
the
some
pen and ink thing.
Like very long claws and a dagger.
Right.
And
it's
then
really pen and ink the way that a lot of Michael Kirkbride stuff from Morrowind looks.
Yeah. Yeah. And
if
then
look at the concept art there.
If we look at the ones from like the Shivering Isles, the Oblivion expansion, they have the typical Oblivion weird face thing going on.
Yeah. Well, that's a thing.
Yeah. But they are a little potato bit face. More armored. They also have, this is like the beginning of the helms, like the big helmet
yes.
that they're wearing, along and with actually having two pauldrons, gloves, other weapons and shields and other things that they're
right.
carrying.
It's
actually
still bikini
wearing
armor.
It's still bikini armor, but they actually have boots and some other objects they're wearing.
And this is also where their skin tone starts to tilt from being just human skin color to right. like weird bluish. And it's just going to kind of keep going in that direction as the series goes on with
right,
the variants.
Right, right. And we were talking earlier about how the female ones are more powerful than the male ones. The male one yep. here on the screen, also scantily clad.
Oh yeah, no, it's equal opportunity scantilous.
Yeah, yeah. No shirt, but long pants. So less no. up top, but more on the bottom, which, okay.
Sure.
But otherwise, similar armor styles and types.
Yeah, very similar style.
And then we end up with ESO. And ESO, the helmets actually completely obscure the eyes. They come down
yes.
in front of the face.
It's like a visor. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is something that also feels way more recent. I think in the last 10 years, I can think about a number of different fantasy shows or games or stories or whatever, where like the eyes are occluded for some reason, because yep. partly because it's creepy, but
sure,
you know, I don't know, like what's the game I'm trying to think of? There's an FPS game where like all the models don't see eyes on their faces. It's like almost like they're all in helmets without eyes. But this to me feels like another one of those like tropes that's more of like a current design kind of thing. So yep. we've got the female and the male one. These now actually have what appear to be way more armor. The female model still is very low cut armor, but most of the rest of the body is covered.
Yeah, it's not so midriffy.
Yeah.
which seems like you'd want to protect those organs if you're going into combat, but
fantasy games.
I mean, well, Seducer is also in the name, so I assume to a degree there is some attempt at seduction as well.
I suppose so. Wear armor and then just take it off if you want to be seductive?
Well, I was going to say, maybe these ones are always battle ready.
Yeah, I guess so. ESO. I guess so. So we've got the female one and the male one. The male one is way more armored up, like almost regular armor setup.
Yeah.
And very much less seducery, much more battle-y. And then let's see, I've got this other. This one is cool from Legends, the Seducer Darkfire with like this flame whip.
Yeah, I think that.
Her.
I mean, all the artwork pretty much in Legends is amazing, but yeah, that specifically is very cool.
Yeah. So there's some other evolutions. Blades has its own version, which is very similar to the Oblivion one without the weird Oblivion
yep.
faces.
Right.
And then of course there's Legends, and there's a few other variations and things. But that's most of what I have to say. I mean, there's storylines and connections to other things about the Daedra they work for and the other events and when they get pulled into
sure.
Tamriel yeah. and all of that stuff. But that's
right. There's
that's
lots of tie-ins,
time.
But I mean, we don't go through all the stories related to everything. That's why you play the games. But, right. you know, one of the seducers in Battlespire is the concubine of Mirren's Dagon, for example. It's like, okay, sure.
Sure.
So it's like they're, why not?
Wasn't Vivek or was that Molag Bal?
both?
Both, maybe? Yeah, both
just
at one point.
Involved. It's fine.
I think you're right. I think it was both now that we think back to it.
Kidding. I was going to say, just get it's fine. It's
whatever.
Fine.
Whatever.
Yep.
But there you go. That's the Dark Seducers. And
yep.
that's going to do
and
it
their
for
their evolution.
And their evolution. That's going to do it for our four Daedra this week. And stay tuned for next week, because who knows, maybe Lotus is going to do a fun little solo episode or with a special guest. I'll be gone for slightly over
yeah.
a week. So
I'll see what I can do about coming up with a little emergency episode if I can get some time.
Yeah, we'll see how it is. Hopefully we can get some stuff out. If not, we apologize, but
yeah, we may have a week off. If I can prevent it, I will attempt to prevent us from having a missing week.
Yeah, so that's how things are going to go sometimes. Lotus, yeah. you have anything else you want to share before we head out?
No, not too much. We got another episode of Tales actually launched earlier today, just because, again, we had that pre-show. We had some internet issues with me that seemed to hopefully have corrected for the most part. Those were totally way worse when we were recording Tales. So Ark had a bit extra editing to try to do to keep everything in line, because he's much better at that than I am. So we got the episode out today. But no, other than that, it's just kind of same old stuff as usual. Excited to get some game time, hopefully.
Yeah. And of course, you know, the community freaking out about different things that may or may not actually make it into the actual game and all of that stuff.
Well, I mean, this is what PTS is for. When you see stuff, it is good to voice your opinion. And I didn't actually even understand what the thing was at first. And it still could be assuaged entirely, but there are a couple potential concerns if this stuff goes through the PTS to the live server that hold a little more merit than what I thought, which I think might be, knowing how Zoss usually does stuff, I feel like it might be more oversight on why it's a bad idea in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
Than like, aha, this is...
Like, they're not intentionally trying to do something bad.
A couple of them would, basically the Endeavor system would be kind of, in certain situations, potentially locked behind the paywall of needing DLC,
right?
Which is a little weird because that's never been a thing,
right? Because it became more specific,
Yeah. But again, the idea is usually that they have a whole bunch of different things you can do to cover all the different portions of the game. Unfortunately, something I'm not super well versed on because I don't ever pay attention to those.
It's just
a part of the game that I don't care about because it all leads to cosmetic stuff, and I know people love that stuff. So hopefully it gets balanced out for people to make them happy. I just recently bought something with them because somebody made me aware of how many I had from never spending.
Oh, by the way, you can buy something awesome right now. Oh, cool,
right.
Thanks.
I wish I could gift it.
That's like me. And I mean, the Endeavor system, I usually don't purposely go check out, but even just achievements. I'm just like, we've talked about this before. It's like an achievement pops up and I'm like, oh, that's nice. Cool.
Yes.
Cool,
yeah.
An achievement.
Whereas I'm out there like, what can I do for this achievement? Totally different play styles. Yeah. So it's like, but I always like to have as many people get to have something fun out of their game, as long as you're not messing up other stuff for people. So, you know, hopefully this gets balanced out. No Langer Frog does mention, again, it is on PTS and they're testing the Undaunted event at the same time, which could explain why it's so specific to certain dungeons. There's a lot of variables, but if you don't like it, let Zoss know. They tell you all the time that let them know when something doesn't work the way you want. Like, that's kind of their thing. So
Yeah. So go check out that episode. There's more discussion about that. And of course, Tales of Tamriel is always keeping everybody up to date with all the latest discussions
to cover
and community
much
stuff.
Much of the news as we can.
Yep. So go check that out. Robotsradio.net if you want links for all of the different shows that I do, that Lotus does. And thanks for being here, everybody. And chat, thank you for being here as well. It'll be a few weeks, but I will be back and you will be in capable hands. I trust Lotus with my podcast.
Hello.
I was going to say life, but I'm not going to potentially
that
die.
And you're really far away. I was going to say, if you started choking, I don't think I could reach you in time.
It's true.
But, and I mean, hey, what's the worst that could happen? The last time I hosted the Patreon chat by myself because you didn't feel well, it was the longest episode of the podcast you ever had.
I'm going to come back to, like, so I did these two episodes. It's like 5 hours of content. Is that cool?
You good with that?
Also,
I edited
good
the
luck.
First 10
good
minutes.
Luck editing.
I was going to say, so I tried to help you out. I edited the first 10 minutes. The last 4 hours and 50 minutes are on you, Tom.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool, man. Well, thanks a lot, buddy.
Enjoy your trip, though, I was going to say. And things won't be on fire when you get here.
All right. Good deal. All right, everybody. Have a wonderful night. Stay safe out there and look out for Dark Seducers or Titans or Daedric Lords or crows. Crows are fun, but they might eat your eyeballs. All right.
Yep.
See you next time or not. Bye, everybody.
See you later.
Thanks for joining us. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach me on Twitter at robots_radio or Lotus of Doom at Lotus of Doom. Also, you can join us on the Robots Radio Discord channel. You can easily just search Robots Radio Discord on Google or check the description underneath the podcast. Also, this podcast is recorded live every week on Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on the Robots Radio channels on Twitch, YouTube, and on Facebook. So just search Robots Radio on any of those platforms. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you while we record the show, or before or after. Either way, just come hang out with us. And if you're looking for more information about my shows and the shows on the Robots Radio Network, go to robotsradio.net for all the information about all the shows on the network, including the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where I help both new and existing podcasters to grow their shows, build their audiences, and create the best podcast they possibly can. All of that at robotsradio.net. We'll see you next time.